Just a few,
just a few,
just a few. acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Amen. We read also Genesis 1, verses 3 to 5. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first days.
Amen.
God be seated. God bless you. So for the last two sermons, we were talking about this topic of the power of transformation.
Amen.
We were just looking into some simple principles that God has placed in the world. And us as believers, as Christians, our lives must If we just confirm, if you just walk according to the principles that God has laid out in the world, we won't struggle to see the life of Jesus in us.
Amen.
We won't struggle to overcome. We live an overcomer's life.
Amen.
So we are just trying to see into these principles, to see what God had laid out. And if nature works according to these principles, we also, the type, because the type never lies. If we conform only to the types, we will manifest what God had made for us to manifest in this world. So we've seen that from just speaking the word, from the spoken word, God made everything that we see. God just spoke the word, and nature and the earth and everything that existed was just made out of the spoken word of God. And nature had just to listen, to accept, and the word would be manifested. Because as we were seeing, the prophet says there were seeds lying beneath the surface of the earth. In underground, the seeds were there. Which seeds were the spoken word of God? And when the word came, he just spoke, and it made that life of God that was in the seeds to be made manifest. The seed had only, because it's God, the true nature of God, spoken word in it, it had only to accept what God was speaking, and it was bringing it to manifestation. So, God's first creation, when he spoke the word, the first thing, when he started creation, he created light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And when light came, we will see that God didn't want light and darkness to live together. So he separated them. So every time the light comes, light always brings separation. Even in our own Christian experience, if we go back to see the way we believe the word, when we came into the world, when we received the light found us in a condition where we were with our friends, with our families, with our customs, with everything. But when the light struck, it found us in those conditions. You notice one thing, your friends forsook you. They left you. Why? Because light comes always to separate. When light struck you, when you received the light, your language changed, your taste changed, your appetites changed, it made everybody to abandon you. They just left you. Not only they left you, but they gave you names. They gave you a different name. Amen. You see, when God separated light from darkness, to make the separation obvious, evident, he called darkness light. He called light day. The same thing when you believe the word, when you receive the light, your old friends, they knew your name. You were always Tony or Wilmo or whoever, but they started calling you a different name. So that person has become a pastor. The light brings always a change in your nature, physically speaking, spiritually speaking, even your name will be changed. Every time when God brings separation, you will notice a change comes after. A change follows. If we go into Genesis 1, where we read, verse 5, he said, after separating light from darkness, he called light day, and he called darkness night. Are you with me?
Amen.
In verse 6, he said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So there's another separation that's going to happen there. Because they were all confused. Water under, water beneath, they were all waters. So he said, now it's time to separate them. The water above, and the water, let there be the firmament. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the water which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So after, before, he didn't call it heaven, because there was still confusion. They were still all together. Believers, unbelievers, everything all together. He couldn't make the difference yet. He said, let me separate them now. The firmament came. The heaven could be clearly seen. There was no water misting the water beneath and above. Sure. There was a clear separation. He said, now it's time to change name. It won't be always only called water above and water beneath. The firmament will be called heaven. And notice, he didn't give name to the earth yet. Because there's still another separation to be made. As long as the separation is not happened yet, there's not a change. There's not a change of name. There's no change of nature. Amen.
Amen.
If we carry on, verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land be appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of water he called sea. You notice, he could have, after separating the water above and from the, he could have named everything. But there was still a confusion on earth. Above, it was clear the separation was made. But beneath, there was still a confusion. Water and water and dry land. So, there was no way he could name. He said, now I want to see the things the way I want them to appear on earth. Because there are seeds lying down, behind, beneath. Those seeds need to be manifested. For the seed to be manifested, I need to separate the water from the dry land. He spoke the word and the separation happened. And when he saw that the separation was clearly established, he said, okay, now it's time to distinguish. The water, I'll call you sea. The dry land, I'll call you earth.
Amen.
Before, they were just called water. Amen.
Amen.
When, if in your life, you are still together, with after believing the word, after believing the message, you are still getting along with your old friends. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in your experience. We don't mean you to shut down, to shut off your old friends, or not to talk to them anymore. But it's something automatic.
Yes.
It will happen automatically. You will still love them. You will still want to be with them, but they will reject you.
Amen.
Because the light has come, and when the light comes, it makes clear separation. They will call you names. They said, that one, she's a nun now. Don't speak to her anymore. When you go there, the only thing that comes out of her mouth is just the church sounds. She's now, I don't know, sister. They'll call you Mother Teresa or whatever. Some kind of religious name. Amen. Because there's been a change in you. And the change, you won't tell people that there's been a change. People will notice that there's been a change in you. You have met something, you've had a different experience, and your name will change. Light always will bring that separation. In this room, if there was darkness, the moment the light strike, if there were rats here, cockroaches, the lovers of darkness. When the light comes, notice what they will do. Because they love darkness, and light cast away darkness. Because darkness don't go out, don't go far. Darkness will go to hide maybe under the sofa, or behind the curtains, or behind the door. Cockroaches and rats. Because light has come, they will go and gather there. They will go and meet fellowship under the conditions where they feel comfortable. And they are not very far, because they are just waiting for the light to leave, and then they will come back. Amen.
These are very simple principles in nature. But if we observe them in our lives,
amen,
we will know the tactics of the devil.
Amen.
And we will know how to avoid him.
Amen.
And we will know how to overcome him. Amen.
Amen.
So, if the cockroaches, the rats, are still walking along with you, my friend, light has not come in your life.
Amen.
Because when the light comes, we notice it. You will walk, the children of the light will gather all together and manifest the works of the light.
Amen.
The children of darkness will gather together behind the curtains, behind, under the sofa or wherever, to manifest the works of darkness.
Amen.
So, just question yourself. We don't want to be judgmental. Just question yourself. Are you still welcome? Yes, we are still welcome in our families. But in which way? Are they still happy to do their cockroaches' works and feel comfortable where you are? If you are still welcome in that way, you need to come to the altar. Because the light has come, amen. Today you have received the evening light. And the light that God spoke in Genesis 1, that made the separation, that light has come again today. And we need to see the products that life made, produced in Genesis 1, manifested today again. Amen.
Amen.
So, God wants you, God gave that word, that spoken word, so that when we receive it, when we have that seed, we will manifest now the potential that was in the seed, will manifest the transforming power of that life that is in the seed. Amen. We've seen last time again that sometimes we say, okay, I'm separated, but my life doesn't seem to reflect what the world says. We have seen the second principle, which was check what seed is in you. Because if you have the wrong seed, the light, the word of God is like rain. When the rain falls, it just comes to manifest the life that is in the seed. If in the same field you have the good seed and you have bad seed, when the rain falls, it will manifest both lives. And we said even sometimes the bad seed get off better than the good seed. Receiving the same light, feeding from the same word, but the word will just come to manifest what is in you. That's why we say, make sure that the seed that is in you is only the seed of the spoken word.
Amen.
Because any other seed that you cherish, that you keep in you, is just a matter of time.
Amen.
The word of God will come to manifest that seed.
Amen.
You may stay for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, but as long as that thing is a seed in you, the world will expose it.
Amen.
You've seen Cain, you've seen Judas Iscariot, standing, sitting in the presence of the light, being preached by the best pastor ever. Cain had God as the pastor, as his pastor. Judas Iscariot had Jesus as his pastor. I'm just a man. My word can fail. You may say, okay, it's because it was a leader, that's why I'm not changed. But Judas Iscariot was preached by the Son of God himself. Standing in the presence of the Shekinah glory itself, did it produce any change? In the contrary, it produced a son of perdition. Because that seed was in him. Amen. That's why the prophet says, even the Holy Ghost himself can't bring you to heaven. It's a very strong statement. But when you go into this simple breakdown of the principles of how life works on earth, you will understand that the Holy Ghost, God couldn't bring Cain to heaven. Cain had to get rid himself of that old nature first, and then God would put his seed in him and then go to heaven. You have a role to play in what life you will display.
That's right.
God is not a dictator. He based on feeling. He wants you to accept. Dear Lord, I want to get rid of these things in me. Empty yourself. Let him come. Let his spoken word come in. Then when the preaching of the word comes, it finds the spoken word in you and then it manifests the light.
Amen.
So today we are going to see another principle of the transforming power of God. You know, because as we said, sometimes you have started very well, very well. You receive the words, you got separated, people start calling you pastor. You know, that one. No, don't go. He's a real pastor, you know. You started very well. So, the word in you, it's got that potential of manifesting itself to the full nature of God.
Amen.
But at some point in the road, you just notice that you are stuck. You are not growing anymore. Your growth has been stopped. Now we are going to look, because we may say, okay, I've accepted the word. I've made sure that I have the word in me. I've got rid of everything. But how is not that transforming power not showing in me? There is another principle.
Yes, sir.
The devil, knowing that Adam and Eve in the garden, they had accepted the spoken word. They didn't doubt anything about the word. They were on the path to, because they were the children of God. And they were manifesting the life of God on earth. And they were meant to manifest it and produce and bring forth children of their kind. Because they were of the kind of God. And if things remained like that, Adam's son, Eve's daughters, and all those would come out of them would be children of God.
Amen.
I mean, glorified children of God, the way they were. But the devil, knowing that, he said, if I leave them in this condition, because I can't reproduce myself, if I leave them in this condition, they will reproduce only children of God. The power of transformation will keep on working in them. So what did he do? He said, if I just make them to doubt the word, if I make them to lose trust in the word, I may not unroot the word in them because they believe it. I can't come and tell them God is wrong, God is fake, or whatever. They believe God. But I need just to come in another, in a way to make them doubt the word. And if they doubt the word, they will still have the word, but in actual words. Amen. It will be a word which would have lost its potential, bringing them to that manifestation of the children. So, that's a very good tactic that the devil had always used, and it always works for him. It has always worked for him.
Yes.
So, now we are going to see how we can be equipped.
Amen.
Acknowledge that the devil is coming now, because he doesn't want you. He won't tell you, you know, man, God doesn't exist. You won't accept that. But he will come in a disguised way to make you doubt the word. And we'll see ways he uses to make you, to make the word lose its influence on you. You will still be a Christian. You will still come to church. You will still keep, people will still call you that name they gave you. Pastor, nun, or whoever. But the devil knows that I've made the world to become with no effect on me. How? But one says, in the power of transformation, the same song we are reading from. In 65. He says, then we find a white paper in the field. He's talking about a field where the seed is sown. Which many of you men here, and maybe some of you women, if you come from Kentucky, the women uses the who, they're the same as men, they get out of the field with a who. We call it the old gooseneck who, and chop the creepers out. For if you didn't get those creepers out, where the corn was in the hole like this, then the creeper would reach over, grab a hold of that hole, and wrap itself around gradually. So easy, so slyly, that you would hardly tell it was wrapping. And finally, it gets stronger and stronger, and it pulls that cord till it's deformed. Amen.
Amen.
When I'm in this sermon, we use two words, transform and deform. God comes to transform you.
Amen.
But
hallelujah.
To stop that transformation from happening, the devil wants to deform. He says, pulls it against itself, wrapped it around its own vine, deforming it from what it was to something else. Yes, it's a core, but it's a deformed core. Amen. That's a very good principle. The devil, he knows that in the world there is a transforming power, and you believe the word. And if you it keeps you believing that word the way it is in its purity, the word will transform you. And another son of God, another child of God will be manifested, which is something he doesn't want. So, he will come and he will try now to befriend you. Because if we see in the history of the church, the devil, he tried many tactics. Because for him to achieve his goal, in French there is a saying that says, "La fin justifie les moyens." It means to go from point A to point B. If my goal is to reach point A, point B, whatever way I take, it doesn't matter. If I have to kill, it's okay. If I have to steal, it's okay. If I have to lie, my goal is to achieve point B. So whatever I have to do, as long as it's meeting my goal, I'm fine. So for the devil, whichever means he can use to stop you from reaching that level, he'll use it. When you first believe, he will start first coming with persecution. We have seen it. Myself, when I believed the message, my father, who loves me so much, who cared about me since I was a baby, and he's a believer as well. If I was not in the message, but he's a Christian, but he started persecuting me because what I believed the message. So the devil will come with persecution first. But he knows, because it's just one of his first tactics. He knows you are not strong enough yet. You are not unrooted yet in the world. So he come with persecution. Maybe it will deter you. It will bring you out of the way you have chosen. But he knows most of the time, persecution will only make you stronger. Most of the time, it will just make you strong. He will come, he will try, people will start calling you, people will try to scare you, but he knows most of the times, it doesn't work.
That's right.
He did it with the first church. After the death of the Lord, after the first apostle, he started with persecution. He persecuted the church, but he noticed only that persecution was just making the church becoming strong. Because he realized that if he didn't persecute them in Jerusalem, they could just stay in Jerusalem, and the word, the gospel wouldn't have gone away, wouldn't have spread the way it did. So he realized that persecution has just made his people strong. Countries, lands where they didn't know about Jesus, now they know about Jesus because of persecution. Now I have to stop persecution. He came now in a different manner. He said, now we are friends. I'm not that monster that was killing you anymore. Now I am your friend. I'm coming as a friend and I want to walk along with you. He achieved it in his Nicaea, is it? 325. In the Great Council of Nicaea. Because he understood that these people, they are the original sin. These people, they are manifesting the words of God. And they are even manifesting greater words, as their Lord said. If I keep on this path of persecuting them, I'm making them martyrs, and they are dying as martyrs, I'm not getting anything. There's a better way to do it. I'm going to become friends with them. And by becoming friends with them, I now start wrapping myself around them. So, in the Nicaea Council, he came, he said, now we are friends. The great emperor that was persecuting the church said, no, 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 now I accept Jesus now. Can I get baptized? Yes, he can baptize you. They baptized him. He became a great Christian, and he made the whole nation to convert to Christianism. But it was just a tactic that the devil used. Because he wanted to hybrid the seed. Amen.
Sure.
He knew that as long as the seed was in its original position, in its original form, it will produce the children of God. It will produce a victorious church. So I need now to alter the power of the word in the church. I'm going to hybrid it now.
Sure.
So that they will still remain Christians. I send my ambassadors among them. They become bishops in church. They become influent people in church. But the aim will just be to wrap myself around and deform the seed. If I deform the seed, they will still be Christians, call themselves Christians, but that transforming power, they won't experience it anymore. And the devil achieved his goal. He came, he said, okay, are we not friends? Are we not brothers? And the emperor, you know, obliged all his generals, all his ministers, all his dignitaries to get baptized, to convert. It was a mass conversion. It was a dictated conversion because he had a goal he wanted to achieve. So, as Brother Branham says, he will come and try to deform the word. He will come, the prophet says, and we are all still in the image of God, but some are so deformed as sons of God that walk contrary to his word and the way that he had us and provided for us to walk. The world twists us out of the way, pulls us close to it and away from that straight narrow street that he planted us in. To be sons and daughters of God. Sin has done this evil thing to the sons and daughters of God. So the devil now, he knows that now, what can they do? And he says, he comes in a very slimy way. He comes in a very, what does the prophet say? He comes gradually.
Right.
So easy, so slyly, that you would hardly think it was God. He comes as a friend. So just make sure, examine your surroundings.
Amen.
Who walks with you? I don't mean outside there.
Yes.
In church. Amen. Amen. Because to deceive you, he won't come as a killer. To deceive you, he won't come as an atheist. He will come as a believer. Be very careful, because when the children of God gather, the devil sends also a disciples to try and attract your attention, to get you away, astray of the way of God. Just be careful who is approaching you. There are many, we are many good children of God. We are all, we believe that we are sons of God. We are the seed of God in us. But it doesn't mean we don't need to be vigilant.
Amen.
Someone will just come, we start some approach, some discussion to make you doubt the word. Do you really believe, brother? You know, we are all misbelievers. You know, but, you know, I read somewhere, you know, brother, and trying to make you doubt the word. The devil came friendly to Eve. He didn't come, you know, threatening Eve or whatever. He came with a nice voice, soft voice, but he was a deceiver. He was trying to get her astray of the power of God. So just be careful to what you are listening, to what, let everything pass through the filter of the word. Because the aim of the devil is to make you doubt. And once you doubt the word, it loses its power. It won't have that transforming effect on you anymore. Amen. So we are going to see in the Bible how many times the devil has used the tactics to, you know, achieve his goal of the children of God, not manifesting the power of God. He says, excuse me, the prophet says in the same message. The first time that Eve listened to him and got herself just in one little phrase. Excuse me for getting away from my subject, but to make this point, I wanted to give you my analysis of what Satan done in Eve. He sprayed horrible poison. He sprayed. Would you like to know what that spray was? I can tell you, I got the formula of it. Two words. Unbelief. Which is contrary to faith.
Amen.
He sprayed unbelief,
Amen.
Doubt, and science filled its place. Amen. He will come with unbelief. And unbelief, my brothers and sisters, it comes wrapped up in a very nice clothes. It doesn't always come to tell you that God is wrong. It will come called biology. It will come called science, philosophy. And the end, at the beginning, it's nice because we go to school to learn to better our life, to be good, in a good position in the society and everything. But if you are not careful, it comes up wrapped in those clothes of civilization, of education. But behind that, there's something else I want to wrap around you. We are not against science. We are not against education. We are not against civilization. But the prophet says civilization is the way that the devil used to wrap himself around the world to make it ineffective in your life. To make that power of transformation not acting in your life. Amen.
Amen.
So, the devil will come using science. What does science teach us today? You know, especially in this 21st century world, science is mostly against Christianity. I'm not talking about all religions. I'm talking about Christianity. If you see all the governments in the world, if we go into the Arab world, you see that's obvious, they're against Christianity. It's official, they don't hide it. But in the so-called Christian world, look what laws is being passed. Look what is being done in the name of civilization. People just want to live and ignore God as much as they can.
Right.
There's no need of God anymore because science has answered to everything now, according to them. Science has given them the prosperity they needed. Science has given them the materialism they needed. So where's the need of God again? In the so-called civilized Christian world, even Muslims are more protected. Buddhists and Hindus and whoever, they are more protected than Christians themselves.
Right. Amen.
Let's just speak against the Muslim in this church today. Put it on YouTube.
Oh.
The state, the Irish state, will come against us. Mm. Will follow us, will persecute us. Because we spoke against the Muslims.
Mm.
But let's just someone speak against the Christians. No one will stand.
Mm.
No one will stand for them in the civilized world. I was just following the news the last few months. In Syria and Iraq and Egypt, where they were, you know, mistreating Christians, killing, mass killings, persecution, and everything. And there was an argument on some website, I don't know, one forum, I can remember. They were calling the so-called Christian countries to stand for those Christians that are being killed and mistreated in the Muslim world. But there were people who were saying, no, there's no such thing as a Christian country. The Western world is not a Christian world. There was no one who could stand to defend those Christians that were persecuted in those countries. But let a Muslim be killed in Europe because he is a Muslim, you will see the Western government standing, making statements, radio stations, TVs, everything, they will stand to defend that Muslim. But when they are killing Christians in those countries, there's not a single statement. There's nothing. Because science had made them to believe that they don't need God. And Christianity is just a hindrance in their way to achieve what they call the so-called prosperity and liberty and democracy. The rules, the precepts of Christianity, they find it a hindrance to their free life they want to live.
Amen.
So science is in the midst of doing that into the Christian, so-called Christian world.
Amen.
And they will come with those principles of science to try and make you doubt the world. And it's very easy for us. We have all been there. We have been in school, we have been in university. These things come in a way that you, even at some stage, you start questioning your beliefs.
Mm.
But don't forget, they will just show you areas where they think they are right.
Mm.
But if we go, we take the opposite direction to see what they believe really and challenge them in their beliefs, you'll see that they have no ground to stand
up. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
They have no ground to stand up. Because science, they are talking about the Big Bang. Mm. They are talking about evolution. Mm. Then there are many big, big men behind it to support it.
Mm.
But they won't speak about the disagreement that exists in their own world.
Mm.
I've picked some. Because I know it's a very big demon.
That's right.
In schools, in university, they are trying to make you doubt the word.
Exactly.
They are trying to teach you in a way that you will, you know, remove, you will take away your trust in the word. And once they achieve that, the effect of the word won't act in you anymore.
Mm.
They've achieved their goal. So they said there was a big bang.
Mm.
Yes, there was a big bang. But let's see. I'm just speaking from their discussion. I went on one of their forums. So they said, where is it again? They call it 7 famous disagreements in science. Mm. Science is basically based on fact and observation. Mm. There are disagreements in science because of fact or observation of one scientist is often challenged by another scientist.
Mm.
Different scientists can form different theories around the same unknown fact, which may lead to disagreement. Disagreements in science are actually fruitful, since a disagreement encourages discussions and further testing of a theory until it is proven, leaving absolutely no room for disagreement. Amen. I'm so happy when I read that, because it proves that science is limited. They agree to a certain point, even established facts today that are universally accepted, there's still a comma behind it, until another scientist will come to prove that this fact is wrong.
That's right.
There were universally accepted theories in the past. There were people even killed because they didn't accept those theories, but today they are all questioned. They have been proven wrong.
That's right.
Why will you put your trust in science where it proves that themselves, they say there's still room for discussion? There's still room for disagreement until another scientist will come with another theory. That theory will never be established as truth. So how will you bypass your belief, your trust in such an unstable ground? Amen. There was one theory first, the first one they spoke about. He said, theory of static universe. It was long believed, and even eminent scientists like Albert Einstein professed that the universe was static. The universe is neither expanding nor contracting, they said. Everyone was in the favor of that theory until Hubble found that the objects in the universe were moving quickly away from us. Even eminent people, scientists like Albert Einstein, admitted that the universe is static. But Hubble proved that the objects in the universe were moving quickly away from us. Recently, in 1999, scientists made a revelation by finding that not only was the universe expanding, but the expansion rate was just increasing with each passing moment. So it was first believed that the universe was starting. But themselves, the scientists, after a few decades, after a few centuries, they came up with another revelation. No. What we were believing before was not true. Now we can prove. Because before, they proved. They could prove that they said the universe was starting. But now the same people came. They said, no. All those people that came before, they were wrong. From now on, let us put whatever in the work they did, throw it in the bin. The universe is not starting. It expands. It even expands every passing moment. So how will you believe, put your faith, your truth, your trust, in something so uncertain as science? Because whatever they tell you today, what proof do you have that tomorrow it will be the same?
Sure.
It will be proof supported by evidence is still the same. They speak about the Big Bang. There was a concentration of energy, and there was a blast, and there was a spark, but one thing, all of them, they agree on one thing. They can't say where that concentration of energy came from.
That's right.
They all speak about the concentration of energy, but none of them can stand and say that concentration of energy came from some such place and such place. No. They all say that the great unknown. That spark of light that produced the blast, they can't say where it came from. Because to have a spark, you need a source of energy.
That's right.
You need a source of power. But they can't say where it came from.
That's
they
right.
Just agree, okay, let's just agree without demonstration that there was a concentration of energy, and that concentration of energy, there was a spark, and the spark produced the Big Bang. So how can you base your trust, sell your birthright because of such uncertainty? devil will bring you. They will come. And my advice to all of us, you know, God has given us different abilities. Even in the Bible, people that Paul could face were different than people that Peter could face.
Yes.
Because Paul was an educated man. God allowed him to go to university, to study philosophy, to study this and that. He was very highly educated. It was just a preparation ground for the kind of people he would testify the gospel to.
Amen.
He could face kings, he could face philosophers, he could face any kind of people, educated people, and he could match his language to what they were saying.
Amen.
He could have a say in their gathering. Peter or John or Philemon or whoever, they didn't have that kind of education. Those people, those erudites, they would just, you know, outplay them in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Because they would come with a very highly elevated language. And you wouldn't stand in those kind of language. So that's my advice. Don't get yourself entangled.
Yeah.
Don't get yourself entangled in those fields.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that it's not your level, my brother, my sister, let someone who can talk to these people speak to them.
Amen.
Because you may go with something in the mind and come back a different person.
Exactly.
They are very, very cunning in the way, the structure, the suggestion.
Mm.
So, science will be that venue that the devil will try to use to get you entangled and lose that influence of the spoken word in you.
Sure.
There are many examples. I won't go through them. But just to show you that there's nothing, there's no future in science.
Mm.
It's just a bunch of people, and many, many of them, they are secret believers.
That's right.
Many of them, they will tell you, I don't believe in God, but I believe there must be an intelligence somewhere
that's
directing these things.
That's right.
How can you explain me? Out of Big Bang, the Big Bang, yes, there was a blast, there was an explosion, and life came on Earth. How couldn't life come, the same life, the same Big Bang that randomly produced life on Earth, why couldn't it produce life on Jupiter, on Mars, on whatever other planets? Only on Earth, if it was a random fact, they can't explain many things, but they are still standing on them firmly, just to seduce the people of God, just to make you not to believe. Especially you, our young, our youth, in colleges, in your gatherings, just keep it in mind. It's tactics to make that word ineffective.
Yes. Amen.
The prophet says, we need to hurry now. He says, when the cavity that went into the seed, Satan filled it, that cavity, with knowledge and science and civilization. Now it depends on what kind of seed that is in you. If an intellectual, educational seed has been placed in you, there's only one thing that it can do before you.
Sure.
That's all. To a son or daughter of God is the only thing it can do. That's one angle. The devil will come and try to do things like that in your life. There's another angle. Because if you are strong, I told you, we spoke about achieving his goal.
Mm.
If he tries this venue, it doesn't work, he tries this venue.
Right.
If by separation it doesn't work, he'll try to spray with his poison. If it doesn't work with this poison, it's going to use a different poison.
Mm.
As long as it achieves its goal to catch you, to get that word not acting on you, he will do it.
Amen.
The prophet Carion said, Israel did the same after they seen Moses' vindication. And then let Balaam spray them.
Mm.
That that precious vindicated seed. Pastor, don't you never say nothing against this word. Look at Balaam. He was a prophet. And he had seen the seed of God vindicated. But under his own great denomination that he lived in, Moab, seeing that bunch of wanderers coming through the land, he sprayed it. He said, well, wait a minute. We are all Christians. We are all believers. Why? Our fathers and your fathers are the same. Aren't we Lot's children? Wasn't Lot Abraham's nephew? Aren't we all the same? Let's marry one another. Amen. That's another fertile ground for the devil to make that seed ineffective in you.
Amen.
To kill that the influence of that seed in you. They will come among you. They will come among us. And this, especially, I'm targeting our youth. Young brother, young sister. Be very careful on this. They will join the church. Aren't you all brothers? Aren't you sisters? Aren't we sisters? We believe the same Bible. You know, in our church, what scripture did you read today? No, we read the John 3:16. We read the same scripture in our church today. Isn't it the same Bible? Isn't it the same, you know, the same pages? Mine is the same, you know, printing the company that made it and everything. They will come in the name of religion. So, since you believe the same thing, you believe Jesus, you believe he was dead, resurrected, and is in heaven, we believe it. So, let's just come together and marry each other. Listen to what the prophet says. He says, and Israel, as if in the Garden of Eden, let Satan spray her. He also spread Israel through a false prophet. When the real prophet was with them with a vindicated word, but by an intellectual knowledge conception, he sprayed them. Now, it was never forgiven. That sin was never forgiven. What did Balaam do? He came first with the first tactic, which was to curse them. That's what the devil will try to do. He'll come to threaten you. He'll come and try to kill you. He'll try to do, but you'll see that the word is still, you're still performing the words of God in you. He changes tactics. He tries to curse them. He tries to curse them this way. He tries to do this. He said, oh, no. Now, let's invite them in a party. Let's organize a big party. Since they are Abraham's sons, we are Abraham's sons. We are. Abraham was our nephew, so we are. You're close relatives. Let them come. Let's have a party. Let's have our girls dressed in our fashion. And let them boys come. And they'll fall in lust. And they'll get married either to each other. And we'll have achieved our goal. Instead of cursing them, it doesn't work. Let them just dump the word. Let's just pray the word with something different from the original word they received.
Amen.
And then we have achieved our goal. And God never forgive them. The prophet says, you see, in Be Certain of God, the prophet says, preached on the 25th of January 1959. The prophet says, you see, Ahab was reigning in Israel at the time, or over Israel, and he was the wickedest of all the kings of Israel. There had been no king as wicked as Ahab. For he being taught and knew better, he failed not to continue to displace God in everything that he did. Although he had a great military system, and the people had become very prosperous under his reign, but yet, you cannot displease God and expect to get by Very long.
That's right.
He says, and then, in his wedding, instead of marrying among his own people, he went over and married a sinner, an idolater, a worshiper of idols. He married Jezebel, and she was not a believer. And the prophet says, and no believer should ever marry an unbeliever.
Amen.
Under no circumstances,
that's right,
you should always marry believers.
Amen.
So, it's a very easy thing to get caught in. Because the devil will try to show you that your sisters in church, they are not really fashioned, you know. They are too old-fashioned. Look at that girl in college. Look at that boy in college. My brother, my sister. It's just a tactic that the devil will try to use to come and spray you. Because believe me, if he gets you here, you are done.
That's right.
If he happened to get you there, because you may have overcome by separating yourself, by getting rid of everything, by accepting the world, by doing everything, but if you fail there, you are done. Because that, the prophet says, God never forgive them.
That's right.
But Ahab had done this evil thing. And no doubt, but what Jezebel was a beautiful woman. And it fell for what she looked like instead of what she was. That so many people make the same mistake today. And she had both idolatry in the nation among the people. And the people, the priest, their minister, had fell victim of this great popular demand. Amen. So, my brother, my sister, don't play with your roots. The devil knows if he doesn't get you here, if he doesn't get you there, there's a great appointment waiting for you. He knows if he gets you there, I've achieved my goal. If he gets you there, he did it with the children of Israel. He did it with Ahab. See the way Ahab, who was a son of God, an Israelite, the way he led the country.
Amen.
What path he led the country into. Just because of a beautiful woman, a nice girl. He thought she was better looking than the children of Israel.
Mm.
It's something that God will help hold you responsible for that.
That's right.
Now and forever.
Amen.
Stay amongst the people of
God. Amen.
Stay among. There are many, many children of God, boys, daughters of God, and sons of God. If God had made you a man, he has made the provision for you somewhere.
Amen.
If God had made you a woman, he had made the provision for you, son. Because the devil will come and say, you know, there's many, many avenues you come with. Then you see, you are aging now. How old are you? You are 30. Oh, my. And you know, science says nowadays, menopause, it's around 35. So if you don't get married now, in the next 2 years, you may end up not having children. See this nice boy. He has a nice job, he has a nice decent, he's nice looking, he's fashion and everything. Just accepting the hope. My brother, sister, that God who made Sarah conceive at 90 years old age is the God who can perform that miracle in you.
Right. Amen.
Against all nature, against all everything, against the odds,
that's right,
God can make a miracle in you. If all you believe in it.
Amen.
Because that transforming power of the word, if you give heed to the word, you make the word prosper in you, you make the word grow in you, that transforming power, it not only give you the power to live, to overcome spiritually, but it will give you the power to overcome even this flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Because if this flesh is dead, with that transforming power in it, after being dead and rotten and completely vanished, that transforming power can bring it back to life again. So, how comes that transforming power, when you are still alive, don't make you conceive even after you have gone a certain age? Don't trust, don't believe the deception of the devil. He will just try to make things look nice, you know. Brother, you see this woman, this girl, she's coming from such family, you know, with your degree. Her father is the Bishop of Ireland or the minister or whatever. With your degree, you know, you are just an African man. You won't have too much opportunities here. It's not your land. You have no connections. But if you go with that girl and you get married, her father has a lot of connections and you'll be a great man. That's just a deception. As Brother Maxwell was saying once, it's just a recruitment process. They just want to show you the night, you know, the good side. It's a marketing tactic. You come, you see, eat the nice things here. But once you are recruited, you are in, they'll show you now the true face of hell. You say, isn't it the place I came? Well, they said, yes, that was a recruitment process. That was for a marketing tactic. We wanted to sell something. We wrapped it in nice clothes. But this is now real politics, as they said. This is now real life. And you have hell on earth.
That's right.
Just be careful. Never fall under these tactics of the devil. We have received a powerful word today. And that powerful word has the capacity of giving us. The prophets go further to say we can create a new earth and a new heaven. So what can't be done? What can't be given but this transforming power of the world? We can create our own world. So don't accept anything from the devil. Don't accept any tactics he'll come with to try and deceive you from achieving your goal. Through science, through marriage, too many other things. There are many other avenues we can see. But the aim of the devil is just to spray his seed, to spray his poison, so that you can't reproduce the seed of God. To finish, the prophet gave an example of what the devil can do to spray his poison so that you won't reproduce the true nature of God in you. He said, he was talking about, he was talking about, there was a chaplain who was a chaplain during the Second World War. That chaplain was telling Garabana the experience of something he saw on the battlefield. He went on the battlefield and he saw something that intrigued him. Something very simple, very small, but it intrigued that chaplain. And he kept that memory the rest of his life. He said he was on a battlefield and I think the German soldiers, army, they came and they killed all botany life on that area. They came and sprayed some kind of poison. I don't know, TNT or whatever, they spray that poison and all vegetation, all botany life died around that place. So that chaplain, one day he went out, he saw there was burnt stands here, there were dead people there, and there was no green anywhere. There was no vegetation anywhere. He started crying. He said, this is what, you know, mankind can do, kill everything like this. So there was no living botany life all around. And Ravana says, they had thrown this mustard and chlorine gas as they did in them days. And he said, I got out there, there wasn't a bark of a tree, there wasn't a sprig of grass, it was on an Easter morning. When I was standing there by myself, I looked up and I said, God, is this what it's all coming to? That's right. All burnt up. No life, nowhere at all. Grass burnt off. the trees by the gases. Everything was killed. Twist. If that isn't a picture of the world today, and he said, I started crying. I walked back. I was attracted to a rock. I said, I just went over there and looked at the rock and pushed it over. Down beneath the rock was a little white flower. The only thing, the only living thing left, because it had been sheltered by a rock.
Amen.
He said, God, my rock, shelter us today.
Amen.
Oh God, when these poisons are flying everywhere,
right,
in the name of science and education, shelter us.
Amen.
Keep me until that day, oh God, is my prayer. Now I hope that we are each one under that rock, Christ.
Amen.
So the poison had killed everything. But that little flower, because it was hidden under the rock, whatever the spray had done, whatever life had been killed behind outside, it was sheltered. Whatever the poison would come, it would just hit on the rock and protect the seed. So it was not dead, it was not killed. And what Abraham says, why? Why is that rock never affected by the poison? You know, the rock is immune from the effect of the poison. Why? The prophet says, Satan tried and tried again to spray it, to spray the rock. He took him up and said, if you are what you say you are, then do some of this healing here for me. Show me how you can do it. Turn this bread, this stone into bread. Let's see. You take a dive, because the scripture says you do it. Satan tried and tried again. Do everything. One night, laying on the back of the ship, he seen him asleep and he said, I'm destroying right now. But he couldn't. He tried to tempt him into doing some wrong things, but he couldn't do it. Why? He had been sprayed with the repellent of predestination.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why the rock has been immune from the effect of any poison that will come. Jesus being the word himself, Jesus being the spoken word itself, it can't be mixed. It can't be hybrided. It can't be done anything to it. So that's why the devil, he came using the same tactics he's using for you and me. He sprayed. He tried to spray. Do this. He tried to give him power. He tried to give him kingdom before Calvary. He tried to seduce him. He tried to disguise himself in this and that to make him miss his goal, to deform the power of transformation. But the prophet says he was sprayed with the repellent of predestination.
Hey, man.
So if we hide ourselves in him, we go under that rock,
amen,
which is sprayed by the repellent, by the antidote of predestination.
Amen.
Whatever the devil will come up with, we are protected, we are shielded by that rock of age, which can never be sprayed and have the effect of that poison on him.
Amen.
So that's why, as children of God, let us keep our mind, let us keep our focus on the world, because in the world, in this world, there's everything that we need,
amen,
to keep us and protect us from the poison of the devil.
Amen. Amen.
Let God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
So perverted, yes, and so contrary and against, Lord Father, what we believe, O God.
Yes.
But Lord, Father, you said, fear not, little bride.
So amen. Thank you, Lord.
Whatever they do to us, O God. Lord, we will hold to your unchanging hand.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Father, you knew this word that would be ministered this night, even as our brother Wilbert prayed. Father, at the beginning, Lord, he prayed for the minister tonight, our brother Eddie,
Lord.
And you've used him, O God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let us, Lord, Father, search, Lord, the inside man, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for Lord, there could be a possibility, Lord, that, Lord, Father, this Lord Savior, Father, oh Father, a still birth, Lord.
Yes.
Father, something has gone wrong, oh God.
Amen.
But Lord, your word is a two-edged sword.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, right deep in, Lord Savior, Father, and exposes that very Lord Savior, Father.
Yes.
Father, give us grace, Lord. For Lord, we've, Lord Savior, heard your word. We desire to apply it, oh God. We desire to apply to our lives and search ourselves, O God.
Amen.
O Lord, every time we come to the house of correction, O God, we come, Lord Father, to be made closer to Thee, O God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let us, Lord Savior, ponder even upon these things, O God.
Amen.
Lord, that when we come Friday, Lord,
yes,
Father, we come, Lord Savior, having been made better this Wednesday, Father.
Amen.
Father, prepared for Friday service, O God.
Granted, Jesus.
And let us ponder upon these things, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Be careful, Father, not to, Lord Savior, venture into stray areas, Lord.
Yes.
May there be those, Lord, philosophers, Lord, those people that think deep, O God.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we'd not be caught up, Lord, with the vain philosophy of this world, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But help us, O God, even our youth, Lord.
Yes,
let
Lord
them not get caught up, Lord, Father, with, Lord Savior, that nice-looking, Lord Savior, Father Eden, Lord. Father, when it's just, Lord, as our brother said, sin-sprayed, nice, Lord, Father.
Yes,
Lord. God, that wheat, Lord Savior, not that wheat, but Lord, that wheat looks nice, Lord Savior God.
Yes,
Lord, but it's not nice, Lord Savior God. It's far from nice, Lord Savior God.
Yes,
we ask in your grace, part with us, O God.
Yes,
Lord, cleanse, sanctify us always, Lord Savior God. Lord,
yes,
Father, bless our brother, Lord, who's labored, Lord, Father, faithfully.
Amen.
Lord, you bring that word that he tomorrow would see the fruits of what he's ministered, Lord.
Amen.
Bless Brother Eli, bless his ministry, Lord.
Amen.
Bless his family, bless the pastor, bless
Lord. Yes,
Lord, bless all the brethren of this tabernacle, Lord.
Amen.
And keep us, Lord, until we come again.
Yes.
That we come, Lord, Father, with fear in our hearts. We come, Lord, Father, O God, with joy and thanksgiving, with great expectation for what you would have to say next.
Granted.
We ask your grace now. Park with us. Keep us along the road.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us, Lord, from the cursed thing. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Let's give Kelly's service into God's heart.
Amen.
For his mercy, and so that he could give himself to us again in a better way. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've been rivered by his grace. Oh,
Jesus is mine. Yeah. righteous land. You see me, no more grave, for I live in another land.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Jesus,
the cross.